Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, New Beginnings is not just for the young. Every time we play that song, I'm so tempted to sing, and I know that I don't want to offend anyone with my sour notes or whatever, but it's true. New Beginnings are not just for the young. We welcome you this evening to New Beginnings Ministries radio program and Bible study. It's an interactive Bible study. So if you're listening, please, we invite you to join in. Share our site with other folks if you're online. That's at Blog Talk Radio, and the name of the program is Begin Again. And you can also call in at 347-237-4054 and join us for joining the conversation. Brother John?
I'm here. How's my audio?
Okay. I hear a lot of noise. Well, we're welcoming everyone to the program. Let's begin with prayer. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to come before you. We thank you, Lord, for the innovative ways that you've given us through technology, Father God, to reach out to people in their homes, Father God, in their cars, on the radio, at work, through the computer, Father God. We thank you, Lord, for these new, modern, innovative ways, Father God. We thank you, dear Lord, that as you have blessed us, Father God, to be on the radio, that you also, Father God, use us, Father God, to rightly divide and correctly minister your word. We thank you, Father God, for this time. We thank you, Lord, for all of our listeners, those that are current listeners, Father God, listening in real time, Father God, and those that will listen later on and beyond this date in the archive. We praise you and we thank you, dear Lord. We ask you, Lord, that every home, Father God, that receives this message, Father God, that they will be blessed. Thank you, Lord. Today's topic is power of witnessing, and I'm going to ask Brother John what he has to say, and I'll step back.
Amen. Praise the Lord. It's definitely a blessing always to be able to feed on the Word of God, coming together in unity and in spirit. Power witnessing. We are going to go through scriptures as we have been doing, and we do open up the lines for you to call in and to share what the Lord has placed on your heart as we go through these scriptures. And we start off with our first scripture would be Luke 19:10. And we're going to try to give you enough opportunity to locate the scripture as we go through it. We have had comments saying that we sometimes go through the scriptures a little bit too quickly. So we want to make sure that we all are on one accord. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, Luke 19:10, it says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save which was lost." For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. And what I would like to start off discussing is that which was lost. That which was lost. And when we look at that, we look at property is lost. It's condemned. Or it's something or someone that has been mislaid. Well, we have no longer use for it. So often what this scripture is referring to, alluding to, is friends are lost when they die, when they have not accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Friends are lost when they die. And we enjoy the society. We can enjoy the society no longer. And when in here it talks about the wicked or the profligate man. And the profligate man is someone who is considered reckless, extravagant, or wasteful in the use of their resources. And it's said that those that are reckless, extravagant, or wasteful in the use of resources is said to be lost. Lost the virtue and happiness. Lost the virtue and happiness. So even when we look at it, it's saying that you basically feel that you're not useless, that you're useless to society. So when we look at this scripture and it identifies those that are lost, it's all men are lost. All men are lost. When we think about Romans 3:23, it says that for all is lost and comes short of the glory of God. So that means that we all need God. We all need the Word of God in order to survive or to have a fruitful life. Amen?
Amen.
Sister Susan, did you want to make any comments as I'm going through our list?
We have to remember the time when Jesus walked among us in the flesh, that those who were opposed to him were the Pharisees and the Sadducees who opposed him. And they had no understanding of why. To them it was absolutely ridiculous that a Messiah would come to live, you know, the way that he came, and that the Messiah would be one on the street and with poor people and, you know, doing things that were against Jewish law. But he came for those who were lost, not those who claimed to, you know, who have studied the Word all their life and supposedly were experts on the Word, the church, or were the Jewish leaders, because they knew the Torah, they knew the Talmud, because they so-called lived it, because they set the standards for the other Jews and were judge and jury for the other Jews. But Jesus came for the lost, for those who did not consider themselves perfect, for those who were looking for something, because it's natural for all of us. We are supernatural beings, and it's natural for all of us to desire more, to desire to be closer to our Creator, to desire to know why we're here. You know, and that's natural. That's natural. Everybody's looking for something. You come into this world looking for something, looking to where you belong and looking to why you're here.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't mind, I'd like to go back and further define that scripture with a little background so that we understand what was going on there. But the key is these scriptures from 19:1, from Luke 19:1 to 19:10 are talking about Zacchaeus, the tax collector. And within these scriptures, we learn about acceptance. So when we think about cultural responsiveness or cultural understanding, and an understanding of people or tolerance, cultural tolerance, this would be a good scripture of that, because here is this man, Zacchaeus, who was a man who was small in stature, who by that being small in stature, being a tax collector, not being of the group that would be accepted, would mean that he was like an outcast, that he wouldn't be accepted. Accepted, but Jesus accepted him anyway. So let me just read this. It says, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. And when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner? But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. And the Lord wishes that not one of his sheep, that means not one of us, would be lost. So regardless of our background, regardless of our profession, regardless of what we have professed and confessed in the past, that he's saying that you can be redeemed. And that even in that redemption, it showed, we see that the kid wasn't holding on to the worldly things that he was willing to give. But in under our topic of power witnessing, we have to be careful that we don't limit our witness to those who we think might be willing to hear, or those who look like they might be good Christians or they might be approachable, because you never know. So there may be someone that's in our circle, or in our realm of influence, that may not look like they're ready to receive the Lord, but that's not up to you to decide. In power witnessing, you witness to them and you receive them just the way they are, just the way they are. So whether it be tattoos and piercings, tongue, nose, eyes pierced, those body studs that the kids are doing, young people are doing, of a different nationality, ethnicity, from a different region, whether they're clean or dirty, whether they're short or tall, the Lord says we can't decide we can't make a decision not to witness to this person and only witness to this type of people, because this type of people are more like me, therefore they must be more ready, they'll be more ready to receive the word. We're supposed to go and witness, period, be a witness. And the best witness that we can be is a witness of love and acceptance and of patience and happiness. Amen?
Amen. 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 Hallelujah. And that key word is love. That's what we're to show to everyone that we come in contact with, love. That's what Jesus showed to us, love. Love. Even it didn't make a difference how we looked. It didn't make a difference what we was doing. He still showed love. And as you know, reiterate, for those that just tuning in, we are talking about power witnessing, and our first scripture was Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. And as Sister Suzanne was speaking, it does not make a difference who you are, where you came from. We are to witness or to share the word of God with everyone that we come in contact with. Everyone that we come in contact with. We never know who's lost, or who has a lack of religious devotion, or who has a lack of happiness trying to reach heaven. Jesus came to give his life as ransom and shedding his own blood that they might be recovered and saved. Saved. That means that we have hope for tomorrow. We have hope for tomorrow. Saved. That we're going to make it on into heaven. So we're trying to make sure everyone makes it into heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Our next scripture is Colossians 1:28. And it says, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. And for Colossians 2:9, it says, for which I also labor, striving according to his working, who works in me mightily. Amen.
Amen.
In Colossians 1:28, my take on this is in terms of whom we preach, wanting every man. This is not meaning. Warning of danger, but it is correcting others and bringing them to the attention of the gospel. bringing them whom we preach, warning every man, correcting them, and bringing them to the attention of the Word of God. The Greek word here means to put in mind, to admonish, or to exhort, to exhort. When we're talking about exhorting, we're talking about sound instruction and someone who is careful to share the truth, to share the truth. Amen?
Amen.
For those who just tuned in, if you would like to share in with what the Lord is speaking with you, we all coming together just to feed on the word around the table and just lifting up the name of Jesus. And we do thank you for tuning in. Please share if you have something on your heart that you would like to share. Please do that. For all those listeners that are out there, I'm sure that they would be blessed by that. Amen. Sister Suzanne, did you want to make any comments on that?
Mm-hmm. This whole, all of Colossians is talking about the fullness of Christ, the fullness of freedom that we have in Christ Jesus. And this first book of Colossians is talking, Paul is telling us about his labor, and this is supposed to be an example. The scriptures that were just shared by Brother John are supposed to be examples for us on how we should labor with those that we witness to. So that means correcting them with love, correction with love, and teaching with gentleness and kindness, and use wisdom when you teach. Also, to walk and talk what you preach. So your lifestyle should be in line with God's word, and your demeanor and your lifestyle becomes a witness in itself, not just the words that you're sharing or the scriptures that you suggest or you quote. So we're supposed to be that. And Paul is saying that at the end of his labor and at the end of all struggling, that he is seeing that it's even with that expelling so much energy, that it's powerful because we come to Christ, because we can become perfect in Christ. And perfection doesn't necessarily mean without spot or wrinkle. Perfection doesn't mean that we come perfect without having any problems, without having any setbacks or doubts or whatever. But perfection means that we're maturing, and growing in that perfect way to be with Christ. So we should come to, we do not have to wait to be exactly like Christ, to be absolutely perfect, but Christ wants us as we are, and we continue to grow in that.
Amen.
Amen.
I also want to emphasize on that before we move on to the next scripture. In Colossians 1:29, it says, "For which I also labor, striving according to his working who works in me mightily." And that there is basically just saying that it's not by our own strength, but it's by the power of God. We cannot do it alone. We're going through, we cannot do it alone. It has to be the power of God to help us to make it through. And that's what Colossians is saying, striving according to his working, who works in me mightily, striving, giving all of my energies to accomplish what I have to do. But I am not operating on my own strength. I am operating through God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. 708, if you would like to make a comment on that, please do, or when you feel, you know, the need to share, please do. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay. We are moving on to 1 Colossians 15:10. 1 Colossians 15:10. And It says, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. But the favor or mercy of God, what I have is to be traced to him and not to any native tendency to goodness. or any native inclination of his service, or to any merit of my own. All my hopes of heaven. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, by the favor and the mercy of God. It's through God's grace and his mercy that we are able to survive, that we're able to do what we do. Again, in Romans, for all have sinned and fallen short from the glory of God. But because of God's grace, because he sees his son Jesus Christ in us, then he gives grace to us. He gives grace to us. Amen. And that is just a blessing of knowing that we have grace, that we have grace. God sees us in spite of all of our mistakes, all our errors. He sees past that, and he sees the goodness. He sees the goodness of the Spirit of Jesus Christ within us. Amen. Any comments? Seems like the time is going by extremely quick since we, just for those of you listening, we have shortened our time from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock. We've made it for 1 hour. So just keep in mind that we will start at 7 o'clock and we end at 8 o'clock. So we have a lot of scripture to get through. And again, please, if you have something that you would like to share, please just hit one and we'll open up the mics for you and you can share what God has placed on your heart.
And there's time for discussion. And so if we don't finish today, we can finish up, continue next week, right?
Amen.
Area code 78, did you have something to add? Area code 708.
Praise
our next scripture is Romans chapter 1, verse 16, the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 16, and it reads in the New International Version, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. Amen.
For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also the Greek. And that here is talking about the Jews at that time had cast him off and regarded him as an apostate or someone who has abandoned one's religious faith. An apostate is one who has abandoned one's religious faith. So therefore, it's saying, I am not ashamed of the gospel, even though that he was persecuted, Jesus Christ was persecuted and despised and driven from place to place and regarded as filth of the world or considered an offscouring to all things, someone who has fallen from society, he still was not ashamed of the gospel. He was not ashamed of the gospel. It doesn't make a difference how we are treated, how we are looked at. We are still to share the gospel with our brothers and our sisters. And there are going to be times when we are going to be persecuted. There's going to be times when we're going to be looked at as indifferent. But that is not supposed to stop us. That is not supposed to stop us. Jesus leaves us a word and says, if you're ashamed of me in front of man, then I'll be ashamed of you in front of my Father. So we are to continue to share the gospel with our brothers and our sisters for the love of Christ. Amen?
I'd like to read what Paul said beginning in, we'll do that section beginning with 8, and this is Paul's longing to visit Rome. He said, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. God, whom I serve with my whole heart, is preaching the gospel of his Son. Is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times. And I pray that now, at last, my God's will, the way, may be opened for me to come to you. I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, and I planned many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now, in order that I might have a harvest among you, just as I have had among the other Gentiles. I am obligated both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then the Gentile. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. And for us as faithful believers and as children of the living God, we have to remember, too, another thing that I was thinking of when you were speaking, which prompted me to read those verses, is that we have to be a witness in all venues. So a lot of times we're real super Christians, you know, on Sunday, and when we're among Christian people, like in fellowship with Christian people at a gathering or so much as, or a Christian home or in our homes with other Christians, but aren't the same witness when we're out in the marketplace. Mm-hmm. And when we're out at work, you know, when we're in our neighborhood, it should be the same witness. So Paul uses that he has been sent to be a witness to the Jew and the Gentile. So we are to witness to those who are babes in Christ and those who are coming along, but also to other folks that are in our community, even the Jews, even the Muslims, even the Jehovah Witnesses, even the Mormons, even the Catholics, you know, whoever it is, we are to be a witness to them and to speak the word, to be a blessing, to be a blessing to them. And sometimes people will find out, oh, well, they may not go to church. Well, you know, they're Buddhist. You are still to witness to them. You're still to be a witness. Your strategy or the way you approach them may be different, but we are still to be a witness. We have to be a living witness, because we're supposed to know. And it's something that one of the talk show people, I think it was Whoopi Goldberg, was talking about. Isn't it interesting that even, you know, atheists, when they get in trouble, you know, or there's a tragedy or a crisis, they're screaming, somebody asking for prayer. They're singing God Bless America. They're saying, oh, Jesus, help me. You know, so they know who to call. They know when to call. They need to just understand the relationship that goes before that call. And another thing is that the way that they learn that is by our demeanor. I don't know if I mentioned it on the radio program or not, but there was an occasion where we had a crisis at work, and people knew that I was a believer, and there were a few others of us, so we would pray together in the morning. And I remember my boss coming to me and asking for prayer, or other people who would be teasing and talking about me behind my back, calling me the church lady and stuff like that, but would call and say, such and such is happening. Could you ask your church to pray? Could you all please pray for me? Or, you know, there are things like this. I have to go in the hospital. Could you pray? But it was like secret. So even in our witness, when people know what you believe, and if you don't compromise your everyday behavior and demeanor just to fit in, you know, just to fit in. People realize that. So we have to realize also that we are a witness to the Jews and to the Gentiles, to the believers and the non-believers.
Amen. 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 That is so true. That is so true. Amen. For those of you just tuned in, again, we are the topic for this evening is power witnessing. And we have just gone through a couple of scriptures. We are now on 2 Timothy 4:1. 2 Timothy 4:1. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word, be diligent in season and out of season. Exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Amen. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the living and the dead at his appearing at his kingdom. So that just tells me that when it's time to go on home and we have to enter, that we're going to be judged according to what we have done here. Did we witness to our brothers and sisters? Did we share? Did we show love? Did we follow the laws that have been given to us? Did we do that? Amen. Did we do that? Were we obedient to the word of God? It says, preach the word, be diligent in season and out of season. Preach the word. It says, reprove. Reprove someone who scolds gently, not hard, but scolds gently. Rebuke. Exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Be diligent. Diligence is someone who's conscientious of one's work and duty. Conscientious of one's work and duty. Not just doing it just to be doing it, but conscientious of what you're doing, how we're going about doing it. Are we effective? Are we effective in rebuking, criticize, and sharply reprimand. What's wrong is wrong. We cannot make it right. We cannot make it right. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I love the idea of, you know, just exhorting the word of God, challenging someone to a healthy relationship with Christ. Challenging someone with a healthy relationship with Christ. Exhorting. I love that. I love that. Any comments, Mr. Suzanne?
No comments.
Any comments, 708?
I'm going to read what comes after that.
Please go ahead.
Okay. I'm going to start with Paul's charge to Timothy, which is our charge. And he says, You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecution, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Can you hear me?
You're going in and out. You're breaking up. And you're going in and out.
Okay. Yes,
yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture in God is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of this, of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside the myth. But you keep your head in all situations, enduring hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Praise God. So this, I think this, that scripture is appropriate for this time, you know, in the world, that with all the things that are going on, and people are following false teachings and things and doing things and saying things that just seem so bizarre, and they say that it's right. It's like twisting things and taking what's right and making it wrong, and what's wrong and making it right. Mm-hmm. And out of foolishness, people are so blind and confused that they don't see the difference, that they're just going on, and whatever somebody tells them, okay, that must be true. Like the where they said, I found it on the Internet. Oh, yeah, it has to be true if it's on the Internet. And people just go along blindly and follow different things. Like today, even with the different things that are going on in court, and I'm not going to go into much detail, but like when we talk about affirmative action, when we talk about the marriage rights and things like that are going on, abortion. All three of those were topics on the news today, and it just seems so strange how things are changing, how people, seemingly very intelligent people, are standing, looking each other in the eye and barking, you know, arguing and screaming at one another about these topics that are clear. You know, and I can't think of anything under the sun that would not clearly be resolved through the Word of God.
Amen.
Our next scripture is Proverbs 11, chapter 11, verse 30. I love the Proverbs. You can read a chapter of the Proverbs every day. That's a suggestion, especially for young people, as a guide to read a chapter a day. But Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30 reads, "The fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise." Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
And I like the, you know, when it says, he who wins souls is wise. Wise. That, to me, is a true conqueror, someone who's wise. Not being smart or trying to trick someone into something or trying to talk fast or whatever the case may be when you're trying to win someone over, but a wise person, a wise man, a wise person who is preaching the gospel or sharing the gospel, that is a true conqueror. That is a true conqueror. And you can usually tell a person by the fruit that they bear. You can tell when a person is wise by the fruit that they bear. And I think about witnessing. How many has come to Christ that we've witnessed to? How many has come to Christ that we have witnessed to? That is our whole purpose, is to be a witness for Jesus Christ, to be a witness. And we cannot force feed anyone. We can't knock anyone over the head with the Bible, but we just preach the truth. The truth. Unadulterated truth. The Word of God. And I believe that when we just state what the Word says, then the Word does itself. It does its own thing. It's a light to our feet and a lamp to our path. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Do you want to continue on?
Okay. The next scripture is Acts chapter 8, verse 35. Acts 8:35.
Amen.
Acts 8:35 reads, "Then Philip began with the very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus."
Amen. Amen. And in mine it says, "Then Philip opened his mouth and began the same Scripture and preached unto him," Jesus.
So in this chapter, it's about Philip and the Ethiopian. These verses, chapter 8 of Acts, and as we began at verse 26, is how Philip met the Ethiopian man. "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road and the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it." So we know that this man was a Jew, okay?
Mm-hmm.
"Go to the chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "Well, how can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of Scripture, and the passage of Scripture was, "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. And in his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" And then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus.
Amen.
But this said, when someone is curious, like you may be in a situation where people are not necessarily where you're not supposed to so-called witness, but your witness is your behavior, but it's not only your behavior, it is the when someone asks a question, to answer the question. So if, like we talk about the separation of school, you know, of church and state, and very often the question comes up about school and that you can, of what you can say and what you cannot say in school. But just like working, especially with teenagers, because teenagers have so many questions when it comes to the Bible, that if a child were to ask someone, you answer them. So Paul was asked, who were the scriptures referring to in Isaiah when he says, led to like a lamb to slaughter? Who is this person? Was Isaiah talking about himself? Or who was Isaiah talking about? But clearly, to us that are Christians and children of Christ, you know, believers in Christ now, we know that that was Jesus Christ, the telling of the coming of Christ.
Amen. You know, another thing I liked about Philip is just the idea of him wanting to be baptized. I like the idea he recognized that he needed to be baptized. Even though that the circumstances and how they looked, he has to be baptized. And when I think of being baptized, I think about Nicodemus. You know, when Jesus told Nicodemus, very verily, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind will blow wherever it pleases. You hear its sounds, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit.
Amen.
Must be born again. Amen. Amen. You want to go ahead?
I love this story because that's another one that speaks to tolerance of others, being open to witnessing to everyone that the Lord puts in your path. So there's always a reason for us to be where we are, that we should bloom wherever we're planted, wherever the Lord sends you, to be a blessing there, right there where you've been sent. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, that is truly a blessing. That is truly a blessing. 708, would you like to make a comment on anything that we've discussed or you've heard? 708.
Thank God. I was just listening. Actually, I was writing and just listening and enjoying what was being said. But truly, just hearing what I've heard this evening, I've been blessed. Especially when we're talking about being instant in season and out of season, because that's something that is important in this day and time. You know, we've got to learn that as saints, it don't matter where we at, what we're doing, how we're doing. We've got to always be ready to put the word of God forth. Amen?
Amen.
So I just thank God. I'm enjoying myself and just enjoying the listening. That's all. So, but thank
Amen.
You.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you for sharing. Thank you, Perry. And I'm sure that those words blessed someone. There are many out there listening. And again, it's always good when we're together. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, Sister Suzanne, we have time maybe for about one more scripture.
Okay. What scripture is that?
We are looking at, what is last, the 1 Corinthians 15:3. I'm kind of turning my papers around. We're Acts 35, and now we are looking at Proverbs 28:1.
I think we did that one. We should probably pray now.
What time are we looking at? We have how much time left?
5 minutes.
7:56?
Yes.
Okay, praise the Lord.
Okay.
Okay. You brought us in. I will close. I will take us out. Close us out.
Okay.
We do thank you, every one of you, for tuning in to New Beginnings. We have changed our hours from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock, and we just thank God that you have tuned in. We just pray that this has been a blessing. We have come together and made this an interactive Bible study so that we can share together as family, friends, wherever you may be, that we can just come and discuss the Word of God. We are quick to discuss other things in the world, but just coming together and sharing the Word of God is a true blessing. So that is the whole purpose of this interactive Bible study. And again, we do pray and hope that we have blessed you and it will continue to be a blessing. I just truly believe that anything that we do for God is going to be a blessing. So we're going to pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for just being able to come around the table and just to feed on your word. Father, we pray for the sick and afflicted, those who may be having some physical problems, financial problems. Father, Lord, we pray, Heavenly Father, Lord, for all those, Heavenly Father, that may be suffering in any kind of way. Lord, we come against anything, Heavenly Father, that is coming against the body of Christ. Lord, Father, we ask for healing, Father. Lord, we ask, Heavenly Father, for salvation. Lord, Father, we ask that you would just allow us to be able to come together and just to lift up the name of Jesus. Just something greater when we come together and lift up the name of Jesus. Father, we just give you the praise each and every time that we come together. We thank you for this Bible study. Father, Lord, I thank you, Heavenly Father, for all those that participated. And Lord, Father, we just ask that you would just utilize my wife and myself as vessels, Heavenly Father, that we would be about the kingdom. Lord, Father, we just acknowledge you. We just lift you up. We just give you praise. We honor you, Heavenly Father, in all that we do and all that we say, Father. Lord, Father, we just pray that you would build those up, the areas where they're torn down, and that you would strengthen them where they're weak, Father. Lord, Father, we just speak blessings, Heavenly Father, upon all those, Heavenly Father, that we come in contact with, even though they have not come in contact. Father, we pray blessings upon them. Lord, Father, we pray that you would bless them coming in as well as going out, Father. Lord, Father, we declare and we decree, Heavenly Father, that your word, Heavenly Father, be made whole in all those that are listening, Father. It's in the precious, mighty name of Jesus, Father, that we just say thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen.
Thank you.
And so we're looking at 60 seconds before the music is going to kick in. And once again, we do thank you for tuning in for with New Beginnings Ministry each and every Wednesday from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock. Those that are listening, you can always archive. You can archive anything that we have discussed. If you missed a show, you can always archive and listen to it at a later date. We do encourage you to do that. And we just thank you. Again, be blessed. We love you. God loves you.
In a crowd. I have.